as warm as the sun, as silly as fun, as cool as a tree, as scary as the sea, as hot as fire, cold as ice, sweet as sugar and everything nice, as old as time, as straight as a line, as royal as a queen, as buzzed as a bee, as stealth as a tiger, smooth as a glider, pure as a melody, pure as I wanna be.
What's up, everybody? It's the Tribecast, episode 14. We are continuing a conversation we had from the last episode, which is mommy guilt. And who is here with us today?
I'm Gina.
I'm Sarah.
Rebecca.
Reese.
Stephanie.
And Melanie. Thank you all so much for listening. We are really appreciating all of the comments we're getting on Twitter, on Facebook. And we really have loved getting some birth stories. Thank you to Stacey Ritchie for letting us post your birth story on our Facebook page. It's beautiful. And thank you for all the comments on episode 11's Emily Bruno's birth story. We all really were just so honored to have her in the studio and sharing with us her journey. So keep it coming. We want questions. We want stories. We want we want mom tips from you too. We really do. If you can send us your mom tips, and we will talk about them on air, and we will give you credit, and we'll talk about, give you feedback for what that mom tip has done for us. We'll try them at home. Okay, so we stopped with mommy guilt. It got a little off base.
Yeah, we went into relationships,
which is part of everything. You know, it's where we're living at. I wanted to start this one out with talking about just my own experience with feeling guilty. This is like a therapy session. Feeling guilty when other people have my kids. And my kids are, I say they're in two batches. The first batch is 7 and 8, second batch is 2 and 4. And so what batch would you want to take if you were going to take one? You know, so everyone always says, well, I'll take Peter and Lila, that's fine. And my parents, I love you so much. It's amazing that you give me this break. But
which are the older two?
Which are the older two, the 7 and 8 year old. And yeah, they're fun, man. They can have a conversation. They can play poker. They can run. They can run a mile with you. They are fun. And it's the 2 and 4 year old that, you know, body training, and you know, I feel like I need a leash for the 4 year old, and so no one wants to take them. So then when I have my big kids gone, and then they come back and they say, oh, we went to this festival and we went to see this movie and we built this Lego ship, and I think, I want to build a Lego ship with you, I want to take you to a movie, I want to take you to this festival, but I can't because I've got Tweedledee and Tweedledum over here that get into everything. And so that, I don't know if any of you have had experiences with guilt when someone else has your kids and I feel like they do a better job.
I can't even blame it on somebody only taking a fraction of my children. But I came home, my neighbor had watched all three of mine, and the baby had probably napped for most of it, but she is 11 or maybe 12. And I came home, she had baked cupcakes. She had straightened up the house like it was clean, like toys put away, dishes. I mean, the house was clean. The children were happy. They had done an enriching activity. Everybody had done what they needed to do. And I was overcome, really, with guilt of like, a 12-year-old can do it better than I can. Why can't I do this?
Yeah.
But you know, she just had a zest for it. Like, she just came in with a lot of energy, had a plan, you know, it was going to be a fun day, and the kids responded to her positivity, and she just did it. And so I know that if I woke up in the morning and said, well, this is what I'm going to do today, and the kids would be totally on board because it would be exciting. And I want to be the person that can do that, and I can't.
It's the monotony of it all. I mean, if it was like, I remember I babysat when I was 12 years old. I would go, I mean, I was a kick-ass babysitter. I would clean up stuff that we hadn't even done. I would leave that house better than I got there because it was something new. I wasn't keeping my own house. My mom was doing the monotonous everyday stuff. So when I went to somebody else's house, it was fun to play with the kids. It was fun to kind of clean up their house and their stuff and, you know, do all this stuff because I wasn't doing it every day. When you wake up, you have the same stuff to do every day. It might be like a little, you know, switch it up here and there. You're going to the park today.
You're doing a load of darks instead of whites.
Right. I mean, it's you know, it varies, but it's the same stuff every day. And it gets hard.
Well, that, and they don't have the constant, like, thoughts in their head that, you know, they're annoyed. They're not annoyed that your partner's pants were thrown on the floor and that they left a Splenda packet on the counter. I mean, I used to teach 20-some kids how to read. So sometimes I sit in my house and I'm like, how did I manage 20 kids all day long? They left me for lunch and like special time, and I probably couldn't teach my 3-year-old how to read. Like, it's because when I was teaching, I wasn't thinking about the fact that I had to keep somebody alive. What did Gina tell us once? Full bellies, dry bottoms. That isn't in their minds all of the time. So they're free of that guilt. They're free of that thought. So sure, they can make some cupcakes and enjoy it.
A 12-year-old doesn't have financial stress in your household. Yeah. They don't have, you know, the stress. I haven't been on a date with my husband in 2 weeks. And I do post, well, I haven't done it in a long time, but I used to do postpartum doula work, and I would love to go in a woman's house, play with her older children on the floor, like I already said, I hate. empty her dishwasher, fold her laundry, all the things I hate doing at my house because I know those are the things that she's hating to do right now, doesn't want to do them, and to feel like you're helping someone, it's a different position to be in.
That's why other day Melanie posted like she was, you know, going crazy with 4 kids. I was like, give me the girls. I would love to have them come here and play with Lila. And she was like, no, you don't. I am not giving you 4 kids. And I was like, no, but really, like, give them to me. They will play. It will be fine. They're not mine. I'll take care of them. But they won't do the same thing to me that they do to you. So I think it's the same for someone else who comes in your house, a babysitter. They're not going to do the same thing that they do to us. And it was the same as teaching. I would have conferences with these moms, and they'd be like, oh, my gosh, at home they do this, that, and the other. And I'm like, they're great at school. They don't do the same thing when they're away from you.
Yeah, so that always feels good, too, to hear. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that he's a good student.
Right. They're not licking your face and pulling your hair.
Right. You don't get the attitude that I get.
That's true, because they probably, when Claire said we're baking cupcakes, they probably said great. And if I said we're baking cupcakes, there would be some fight because one wants the icing to be pink and one wants the icing to be orange and, you know, and I'm sure that there is a lot of that, but I want to find a way to, and sleep would fix a lot of problems for me right now, but I want to find a way to bring more energy and patience and sort of, I don't know.
Fun.
Yeah. Just an appetite for play. Yeah. I need to be more playful and silly with my kids because they love that. I mean, it's their favorite moment of the day is when something silly happens or playful. And it's just, it's really a force for me to do it. One of the things I'm really, a huge source of guilt for me is that the care taking of my 8-month-old now, you know, in my mind, he's still a newborn. Caring for him is so satisfying for me. I love feeding him. I love putting him down for his naps. And I love playing with him. And I'll sit there and like, oh, look at you picking up a blueberry all by yourself, you know? And I don't know why that is so satisfying for me, whereas like, yeah, role play Obi-Wan, Anakin, Star Wars stuff with the 6-year-old is not at all fun. And I should be delighting in his ability to like, oh, look at him play acting this thing, and he made a puppet that's Anakin, and you know, I should be celebrating his achievements as much as I am like celebrating like, oh, look at the baby who just learned how to climb the stairs. And I don't know why that it's not the same for me. And I'm sure the kids, my big kids, see it. Like, she's so happy taking care of the baby, and she's rolls her eyes if I ask her to, you know, play princess something or other with me. That's awful. They shouldn't feel like that.
I totally can relate to that. And like, going back to what Stephanie said with postpartum, I was listening to her talk about, you know, she would go in there and play with the kids on the floor and do the dishes and do all those things. Well, I was the woman in the postpartum bed trying to lay in for those 7 days and hearing the people that were coming over to take care of my kids feeling fucking guilty mm-hmm. that they were the ones doing it. And that when my kids would come in and see me and visit me in my bed and, you know, want to hold the baby, I would roll my eyes and I would say, no, you can't. No, don't touch. Don't do this. Don't do that. And they could see, they could feel that, you know, I was really belonging to this new person now. And the guilt, the postpartum guilt is a whole other monster, really.
Like that, our last postpartum doula client probably saw me unloading the dishwasher, playing with her kids, and was probably like, man, I wish I could do that. Not knowing that at home, those aren't the things that I like to do. You know, it's right. Like we compare ourselves to something that's not even real.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. After I had my third baby, my best friend and my mom came down and I had her like 8 o'clock at night. So they were there about an hour after she was born. And so they put my big kids to bed. And I remember laying in the bed. My husband had gone downstairs to make dinner. So I was by myself in the room with my new baby, probably 11 o'clock at this point. And, you know, midwife and doula had gone home. And so it was like starting to settle into normal, you know, like this is what my life was going to be like. And I could hear my big kids laughing and then I could hear like my son say, oh my gosh, you gave us lemonade. My mom would never give us lemonade at 11 o'clock at night. And at first I was like, oh my God, why are they giving him lemonade? And then I thought, oh, but that's good. I'm glad he's getting something fun. And then I started to weep in my bed thinking, I wish I was giving him lemonade. I wish I could be the person that could do the fun thing. And now here I am. I'm shackled to the bed with my new baby and, you know, trying to get breastfeeding going and I'm alone. And it's so, so hard. And I don't know. I think that I'm not going to offer a suggestion here to, you know, demean anybody of what they're already doing. And I feel how hard it is. And I lived it.
I mean, I do want suggestions if people have them. What has allowed you to get more in, you know, what would help me really engage? And I have pockets of that, and I try and do it, you know, a little bit every day. But I want to find a strategy for making play more natural for my family.
Well, I think this, what we're doing right now, opens it up. Yeah. I think that I came in here this morning like not feeling great, feeling really depleted, honestly, of energy and just good feelings for my family right now. It's been a hard week. And I'm already feeling better. Just by talking it out with you and hearing that I'm not alone, you know, we're all in this together. And just by really sharing, and then I feel like maybe, who knows, maybe, when I go home, I'll play with them for a little while. I don't know. But I mean, feeling like, and if I don't, if I do give 10 minutes of my time, I mean, like Stephanie said, if I look at the spider that's drawn on the chalkboard and give a big ooh and an ah, and maybe I'll feel a little bit like I'm giving them something that they need, where I always feel like I'm not giving them enough of what they need.
Mm-hmm. I need to put some strategies in place. But for example, I was over, my son had a play date one time and we were at this woman's house and she had a sign on her son's door who was then five, maybe even four, I think five. It was a drawing and it was like a stop sign. And then there was a picture of a shirt and a picture of a toothbrush. And so he had all of these things he had to do before he even left his room in the morning. Like, have you gotten yourself dressed? Have you brushed your teeth? Have you put your pajamas into the hamper? And I need to do that kind of stuff because our morning is, you know, greeting them. They come and wake me up. And I'm usually like, I really need 5 more minutes of sleep. So it starts off on a bad note. And then get downstairs and it's like making this one get dressed who doesn't want to get dressed. And he's fighting me about that. So then I'm in a bad mood. And I'm trying to get somebody dressed and then changing the baby's diaper. And then the, you know, toast is burning. And like, I just feel like our life is chaotic. And I want to find ways of, like, okay, this is our routine. It's peaceful. It's expected. Nobody's frenzied and in a hurry. And I've thought to myself, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make this drawing. And then I'm like, where's the markers? We don't have the markers because they went to, somebody took them outside last night and then it rained and now they're all wet. And, you know, like it's, you're, I'm so, I'm caught in this quagmire of bullshit. And it's the reason I can't get things done.
And then you have to take three kids to Michael's to get like supplies. Like, fuck that. Like, right. I'll just chase them around.
I know. That truly. The, and then the three kids into Michael, that is the barrier to this peaceful utopia, like completely made up imaginary version of how our morning should be.
We got a letter from my oldest, or my 3-year old starts new preschool this year, and he has to be able to, when he goes to the potty, he has to be able to put his underpants and his pants back on, and which he doesn't do now. He comes out naked and we chase him around, and he also has to be able to take his shoes off. They wear indoor shoes there. So when he gets there, he has to take his shoes off, put on indoor shoes, and then, yeah. But at first I was like, oh my gosh, I have to teach him to do these things in the next month. But now I'm like looking at his independence as freeing up more time. And he should be doing that crap at 3 years old now, you know?
Yeah. I was thinking today, because right as I was trying to leave the house, I looked and there's the breakfast dishes still sitting. And we have a skylight right above our table. So if something sits on the table, by the time I come back to it, it is like, it is welded to the plate that it was on. So I'm scurrying and we're already late and blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, I need to just get paper cups and paper plates for a couple of weeks to get my mind in a better place and let the kids throw it away. And I'm sorry, Eve, you know, like all the green reasons why that shouldn't be happening. But like we've got, something's got to give because it's 1-on-3 and we're just constantly behind the eight ball. And it's affected my mood so much that it then prevents me from engaging with the kids.
Yeah. One thing that I've done with my big kids, and they're 7 and 8, so they, I mean, we were, I was cooking dinner, plating their food, you know, setting the table, plating their food, pouring out their drinks and cleaning up the drinks when they get spilled, because one at least gets spilled every single time, and then refilling it, and then putting in, fighting about what they're eating, you know, making deals with more bites or if you do this, blah, blah, blah. And then they would be gone and just get up and run from the table. Their plate's still there. Now I'm cleaning up the whole kitchen by myself, and now they're on to another mess in a different room. And finally one night I was like, no more. And I got one to set the table. I got, you know, one to dish up all the plates. We have completely cut out any bartering, I mean, any deal making between dinners. We have one dinner. Everyone eats it. Everyone tries at least something on the plate. I mean, everything that's on the plate. No deals. No deals at all. And I mean, that in itself took like 4 days of constant battling. But now we're like, oh, we're having salad and lasagna for dinner. And they're like, okay. And where before it was like, no, I hate salad. I hate lasagna, and have to hear it the whole time. So then after, and we have a talk, we go through as we're eating, we go through what's your pit, what's your peak of the day. Your pit is the worst thing that happened to you. The peak is the best. And I'm always the last one. Like, is anyone going to ask me what my pit and peak
are? We've done that for years. Anyone? I've never been asked.
No. Yeah. I'm like, well, my pit is right now because no one cares. But, and then one of the smartest things, and I'm hearing myself say, I've got to get back and do it. I haven't done it in a few nights, but having the big kids do the dishes. And I don't care. I don't care how clean they are. I really don't care. But they pick up everything. They bring it to the sink. They get a step stool to the sink. They do the dishes. I don't care how much soap is used. I don't care how much water is used. Fine. Clean it and then just put it in the drainer. And my husband has a little bit of a problem with it because he's very OCD about cleanliness with dishes. But I don't care. And it's really helped. It's really freed up, you know, my making dinner. And while I make the dinner, I put on either our latest podcast in the kitchen or This American Life or, you know, Seeing Clearly or Five Decisions Away or some other podcast I listen to, or just music and, you know, my music, and have kids in a different room doing something else. And so I have that time making dinner, and I do not let them in the kitchen while I'm making dinner. And then I will call them in to set the table and do all of that. So now I feel like I actually look forward to making a meal, whereas before it was dreaded.
Are there things that have been life changers in your life? Like for us, a couple of things that have been life changers were like adding the king size bed.
that like changed our lives. Biggest, best investment ever. Adding like DVD players to the car.
Yes.
That was like huge because we were traveling so much. And then lately, or since I've moved back, I've gotten into, at the gym, they have 2 hours and 15 minutes of childcare. And it sounds terrible, but
it sounds beautiful.
Every single morning, I'm out of the house by like 7:45. And the kids are in childcare for 2 hours and 15 minutes and I can do whatever I want in 2 hours and 15 minutes and I get to exercise. So I feel better. It's been a game changer for real.
That's huge.
Well, and I think all of this that we go through, like the dinners, the cleaning, the disciplining, the, you know, providing for the needs of our partners, our kids, all of it takes a lot of thought. Like my mom looks at me sometimes and she's always like, she's told me before that she envies the fact that I don't always scream right away because she feels like as a mom, she immediately like flew off the handle. She did have 4 kids under 4. But and I always say, I have to think about it. And by the end of the day, it's so draining to like think of, okay, how can I still be present with my kids and how can I not scream at them and what can I do? Like, you have to think really hard all day. Like, don't scream at them. Don't jerk their arm. Don't do this. So I think the 2 hours to exercise, it fuels our minds. It's good for you to do that. And it actually took it wasn't postpartum. I had to do like therapy between my first and second baby to understand that, to know that like it's okay for us to feel guilty and to like think about what we've got to do. And it's, you know, it's, I guess in a sense, it's really truly normal. Like there's nothing wrong with us that we feel so guilty and that, you know, we don't know how to play with our kids or don't want to. It's really normal. I just think nobody talks about it.
This is kind of going back to what Matt said in episode 13 about the baby shaking thing. But a friend of mine texted me a while back and said, oh my gosh, you have to turn it on. I don't even remember what show it was. Like Oprah. You have to turn it on Oprah. This woman duct taped her toddler to the wall. And I just texted her back. I was like, shoot, I ain't hating on her.
I tape a sippy cup up there.
Get some stuff done.
On that note,
I stepped out for a minute, so I don't know what y'all were just talking about, but I was at a cocktail party one time and we were talking about babies crying, and I was in the middle of a colicky baby and just, no matter what you do, she's crying kind of thing. And the moms were talking about how you just become accustomed to the crying. And some people were talking about, okay, so what I said was, I realized she's going to cry for 20 minutes, whether I do something or I don't. And so I put her in the crib and I went and took a shower. And it was like really hard for me to leave a crying baby in a crib and go take a shower, but I hadn't showered in many days. And that was my window of opportunity or whatever. And I was just talking about how I'd come to grips with like, occasionally I'm just gonna have to put this crying baby down and get some done. And mom goes, oh yeah, I mean, I put my 3-month-old in the closet the other day. I mean, there was nothing I could do. And it was like crickets around the table of like, yeah, too far, a little too far.
Too much. So, where do we go from here? Mommy guilt still.
I just think it's normal. I mean, I think that you can't escape it. You just have to learn how to deal with it, how to work with it. And you just have to think of things to do that, like, shift the guilt. You have to think, okay. I mean, because I think we're going to have it no matter what. I mean, I was playing with Lila yesterday. I made a whole necklace with her. And so I was happy for that. And then a second later, I was guilty. And I think we just have to learn how to be like, you know what? I did that. I can't feel guilty. This is how it is. I'm going to do the best I can, like Matt said. And just, I don't know, celebrate ourselves, I guess, in a sense, so that we don't feel guilty. Because I think if we celebrate ourselves a little bit more, then I don't know.
Well, I think talking about it helps. And, you know, you might feel nervous to talk about it at first to somebody you feel comfortable with, but chances are that they're going to, you know, feel that honesty from you and spill theirs right back at you. And so you guys, you know, can feel like you're being supported and that you're not alone.
I go to therapy. I'm a big fan of therapy. I think everyone should be in it. And my therapist, I love her. She and I talk about this voice that's inside my head. And, you know, it's not just about mommy stuff. It's everything. You know, you're not doing it right. You don't, you know, just this negative voice and it's always questioning what I'm doing. And I had a hard time with that last summer. And so she had me name the voice and she had me like talk back to the voice when the voice was saying things like, shut up. I'm doing the best I can. I am trying. I'm really trying. And that it certainly helped where I could like recognize when I was having these moments of questioning and beating myself up over whatever I was doing and then to spin it around and praise myself for something that I was doing right or something that I was, you know, even to give myself a goal to accomplish. Like, well, if I do this, then I can praise myself for doing that. Around the same time I watched the movie The Secret. Have you guys watched it?
Mm-mm.
You know what the whole idea is? So it's like if you're putting out negativity, then you will be receiving negativity, basically. Mm-hmm. And if you're putting out positivity, and, you know, this movie talks about asking for, like, material things. But, you know, I took it as if you're putting positivity out there, you know, saying, well, my goal is to do this. Or, you know, I see myself in this job in 5 years. Or I see my kids acting like this when we go into the store. Like, imagining. I mean, I will use it to get a parking space. Like, someone is leaving that parking space right in front of where I need to go. And, I mean, if you think it, and you start believing it. And so I think that's, and after I watched the movie, I probably had like 4 weeks of like, I'm positive, I am imagining all these positive things happening, and I felt better. I really did feel better just not letting the negativity into my head.
I'm guilty of this also, social media, like being on Facebook too much, Pinterest, all these things where people are only posting these amazing things they're doing with their kids all day long, like, you know, building a rocket ship out of the refrigerator box and stuff like that. And then you're beating
yourself
up. You know
that kid's being duct taped to the wall later that day.
No, I totally, because when I saw that picture of the space helmet, I was like, man. Riley with like a space helmet.
That wasn't me.
What am I doing? I'm yelling at him because he's pulling the stuff out of the out of the recycling when I could have been making a freaking space helmet.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's stuff like that.
There's such cool stuff at camp, you know? And you're like, man, I could do that. That's like a paper bag and a popsicle stick. I could do that. You know?
Well, actually, that's a good, you're bringing up a good point, which is that I can engage better when I'm not in my house. Because there aren't the other things that I could be doing. The computer's not sitting there. The dishes, you know, are not staring at me and all of that. So maybe I should just take my box of recycling and some duct tape and, you know, go sit somewhere. Anne Lamott, in one of her books, had written a quote that I love, which she said, you make sure you're not comparing your insides to someone else's outsides. So you're seeing what someone else is doing and you're interpreting how that should be, could be, you know, what you should be doing differently. And you don't know where they are on their insides. And what you're projecting on the outside is better than what the story you're probably telling yourself on the inside.
I was just sitting here and listening to you say that, and a huge light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, yeah. That's exactly.
Yeah, you're comparing your insides to someone else's outsides.
I'm right there with you, Steph. I'm guilty of being like, look at her. That's awesome. I'm shitty. All the time. When I probably had a moment with, you know, with Riley that I could have posted on, you know, Pinterest, but I'm not thinking about that. I'm just thinking about, you know, that couple hours after I did that, you know, he went to timeout 100 times and, you know.
Well, we're doing the best we can. That's the reality, is you just try to do the best you can with the information and the resources you have in the moment. I don't know. I like to tell myself that I'm going to be a better parent of older children. That's going to be my strong suit, you know, like coaching you through your first heartbreak. Yeah, the girl
like
didn't
school full did, time.
Yeah, well, like school. Like I will teach you some trigonometry, no problem. I'm gonna be so good at that. But like asking these questions, do they wear pajamas in jail? I don't know. Right. And you know why does God invent thunderstorms and hurricanes and is that our what did he say the other day? Are tornadoes a bad thing? And I'm like, well, if you live in a trailer park, yes, for sure. There's probably some eternal purpose to them. I don't know. And I don't like to label things. I'm like, well, you're six. I don't know. Right. I should know the answer to that.
I have a friend that has three kids, and her youngest is the age of my oldest. So we met when they were in kindergarten together. And so she's always like, Melanie, those people that tell you, because you know you meet people and you're like, man, this shit is hard, and they're like, oh, you just wait. You think it's hard now, but when they're older, you've got a whole different set of problems and challenges, and you're like, oh, really? I got to do more than what I'm doing now. And so I have a friend, Laura, who says, don't believe it. It's bullshit. It is so much easier as they get older. Yes, you've got challenges, but you're not wiping someone's ass anymore. Yeah. You're not dealing with, you know, the potential tantrum in a shop. You're not dealing with all of these things that, you know, the questions you can't answer. It is much more manageable. Yes, bigger, more intense issues, but much more manageable. So yeah, I think I hopefully will be a better mother later.
Yeah. I mean, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not there, so I can't say what's easier and what's harder, but I have to believe it's less relentless. Yeah. I think the issues get bigger and the stakes get higher. But, I don't know, man. Right now, I just am in it. And so are all of you.
Yeah.
So if anybody has any tips on how to get over mommy guilt.
Yeah, we got no tips.
What can we do to be more engaged, to get over mommy guilt? And Rebecca, we wanted to give a shout out to somebody today.
Yes, Jenna from her blog Motherwit. She wrote a great review on her blog, and we're super excited she found us. And she has a really cool photo essay that she's working on about the mom body, and I think we're going to come back to her when we go back to our postpartum bodies, which is a podcast for another day. Oh, but we just wanted to thank her for reaching out, and she's hilarious. We've enjoyed emailing back and forth with her.
Jenna Hull. Thank you.
Cool. So check her out and check us out on Twitter at The Tribecast, on Facebook, The Tribecast, Gmail, thetribecast@gmail.com. We're on Stitcher and iTunes for free downloads. And what else are we on? Pinterest. Is that it? Pinterest. That's right. Cool. We hope you guys enjoyed it today, and tell your friends. If you enjoyed it, share us. If you're listening right now, tweet, twat, whatever it is. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
As warm as the sun, as silly as fun, as cool as a tree, as scary as the sea, as hot as fire, yeah, cold as ice, sweet as sugar and everything nice. As old as time, as straight as a line, as royal as a queen,